It is Wild Card Weekend, and that's the lead to our morning buzzcast for Friday, January 8th. Good morning, I'm Abe Madcore. It is Wild Card Weekend. Call me excited. We have three games each on Saturday and Sunday, the first time in NFL history that there will be three playoff games in one day, and we have it back-to-back days. That's, of course, the result of one, fewer teams getting a bye, and two, more teams in the playoffs. We have Colts, Bills, Rams, Seahawks, Bucks, and the Washington football team on Saturday, and then we have Ravens, Titans, Bears, Saints, and Browns, Steelers on Sunday. The Browns game still on, but the NFL surely holding its breath after two more Browns players went on the COVID-19 reserve list on Thursday and team facilities remained closed. That had to be tough preparation week for the Cleveland Browns. Here's what you can expect in terms of playoff attendance. The Bills will have 6,700 fans at Bills Stadium in the first playoff game in that market in 25 years. There will be no fans in Seattle and no fans in Washington. There will be about 14,500 fans on Sunday in Tennessee. There'll be less than 3,000 fans at the Saints game on Sunday. Remember, the Steelers had asked state officials to allow around 6,500 fans into Heinz Field. That would be about 10% of capacity. That request was denied, meaning that there will still be about 2,500 fans. Those are friends and family at Heinz Field on Sunday night. Like I said, ahead of the first home game since 1996, the Bills are close to landing a new naming rights sponsor for Bill Stadium, according to our Ben Fisher. He reported this yesterday that an announcement on a new naming rights deal could be coming soon. Bill Stadium was known as New Era Field from 2016 to last July, but that's when New Era and the Bills agreed to end that deal 2 years prematurely. Let's shift to college sports because the NCAA's long-awaited vote on name, image, and likeness legislation is scheduled for Monday at the start of the NCAA convention. The NCAA convention runs all next week. But our Michael Smith reported yesterday that sources are telling him there is ongoing conversation about tabling the vote. Now, the name, image, and likeness is part of a 125-page agenda, but some members of the council have questioned whether they should move forward with the NIL vote on Monday, given all the legal challenges that the NCAA currently faces. Remember, the Supreme Court is looking at name, image, and likeness legislation. The College Athlete Bill of Rights on Capitol Hill. There's five states that have already signed NIL laws, so many feel there's too much that can change. There's also a sentiment that there needs to be more clarity on a number of important name, image, and likeness restrictions, and some additional time to study that could be helpful. But as of now, as of Friday, a possible vote on name, image, and likeness remains on the agenda for the convention on Monday, which I said runs virtually all next week. We'll be all over this story. Our Michael Smith has been on it from the start. Keep your eye on this story as it develops. You know, one thing we've been talking about a lot on the Buzzcast is leagues trying to retain as much revenue as possible. We've seen it this week with the NHL opening up inventory, not just for their helmets, but also getting naming rights for their individual divisions. Well, now we see it with Major League Soccer. It is providing its clubs a make-good sponsorship opportunity heading into this coming season by letting them sell the left sleeve of a player's jersey. Now, it's unsure whether they'll allow teams to continue to sell this after the 21 season, but this is a new piece of inventory, and it is designed primarily as revenue retention opportunities for teams and a make-good for current sponsors. Now remember, clubs already could sell the right jersey sleeve as part of a four-year pilot program that started in 2020. Now MLS is allowing teams to sell the left jersey sleeve as part of an effort to retain, again, as much revenue as possible. It was interesting last month when NBA Commissioner Adam Silver acknowledged that because of the coronavirus pandemic and the drop in revenue, the league is reevaluating, or as he said, dusting off their possible expansion plans. We all know expansion could be a major jolt of revenue for the NBA. So it's interesting as well that yesterday, Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin said she has spoken with Commissioner Silver and that she is pretty optimistic the city is moving toward landing an expansion franchise to replace the Supersonics. Now remember, Seattle has a lot of things going for them. They have a very, very solid fan base who want the NBA back. You will also have a brand new Climate Pledge arena. You also have an NHL team moving to the market. So there are definitely the pieces in place to bring back the NBA to Seattle. Remember, the Sonics relocated and they became the Oklahoma City Thunder after the 2007-2008 season. And again, revenue is a major part of this. Insiders, and ESPN has cited this as well, believe that an expansion franchise could start at the price tag of $2.5 billion, which would, of course, be split up among all the other member clubs. Let's move to the CFP on Monday night. Ohio State coach Ryan Day said yesterday that his team is on track to play in the CFP National Championship game against Alabama on Monday night, despite the ongoing coronavirus issues impacting that team. Day did say his Buckeye team would have plenty of players available, and that counters the buzz earlier in the week that one of the team's position groups had been really impacted by positive COVID tests. But right now, Ryan Day says they are ready to play on Monday night. In addition, CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock was a guest yesterday on our SBJ Unpacks podcast with Andrew Levin, and he told Levin that he is hopeful and confident that the game will continue on Monday night. And finally, we'll end with this. It seems every day on the Buzzcast, we're talking about a new game, a new gaming deal, a new deal between a betting operator and a league. Well, we have another one today as DraftKings will accept wagers on Saturday's Drone Racing League season finale in the five states in which action can take place. This is part of a deal announced today that makes DraftKings the official sports betting operator of the Drone Racing League. So a big deal for the Drone Racing League that, of course, is now led by Rachel Jacobson. And I found this interesting. DraftKings cites consumer research showing that Drone Racing League fans are three times more likely to bet than fans of major pro leagues, and they're 90% more likely to be interested in sports betting than the average global sports fan. So fans of the Drone Racing League certainly over-indexing in their interest in sports betting, and that is obviously a reason why DraftKings saw an opportunity with the Drone Racing League. So that is your Morning Buzzcast to end the week for Friday, January 8th. Again, wild card weekend this weekend. Then we've got the CFP National Championship game on Monday night. So a couple of fun days around the sports world. I'm Abe Madcor. Hope everybody stays healthy, stay safe, be good to each other, and I will talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.